wickedness ensnares the devil. May God rebuke me, humbly pray. To you, the Prince, the heavenly host, by the divine power of God, cast us in with evil spirits that roam through the world, seeking to win those souls. Amen. God and dear, to whom God's love commits me here, ever this day, yet my son, to light and God, the one God. Amen. And the Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Good afternoon. Could you pass the roses over? One of the most brilliant women saints, we have some girls here, was a German mystic that lived in about the 5th century. Her name was Gertrude. We call her Gertrude the Great. And one of her classics is called Herald of Divine Love. She was a mystic and she was also a visionary. Like John Bosco, she had visions and dreams that had symbolic and spiritual messages. On one occasion, she was praying and she saw Jesus in heaven, dressed in white, surrounded by light, and Jesus had a pile, an enormous pile of golden coins. And he was depositing a golden coin on top of the pile. And it was glimmering. It was shiny. And Jesus said, "What are you doing? What are those golden coins?" And Jesus said, "Every time you pray Hail Mary with love, I'm placing another golden coin in heaven for you for all eternity." So you just accumulated 50 more golden coins. Amen? Amen? Great story, huh? You'll like that story. And that's a sequel into the topic that we're going to be addressing today. And we're going to be talking about the key that will open up heaven to all of us. That is prayer. Listen what Saint Augustine says. He who prays well, lives well. He who lives well, dies well. He who dies well, all is well. Amen? That's the great St. Augustine. He who prays well, lives well. He who lives well, dies well. He who dies well, all is well. I think three of these girls are Shakespearean scholars. You look like it. What is the most famous, according to Google, most famous Shakespearean phrase? You're scholars in disguise. You know Shakespeare, right? You know his tragedies, his histories, and his comedies. Do you not know? Yes, my friend.
To be or not to be, that is the question.
You know, I actually heard that that was probably the top five, but I heard one that's even more used and more famous, and you probably don't even know that this is Shakespeare. Can I tell you? All is well that ends well. It's a short one. Yeah. All is well that ends well, and I really like to apply that to the spiritual life, right? Because if you end well loving God, you're going to go to heaven for all eternity, right? So, he who prays well, lives well. He who lives well, dies well. He who dies well, all is well. Right, Diane? Yeah. Got it? So, that's an introduction to our topic. We're going to pass out the sheets, and we're going to be talking about prayer. Right, Eric?
Yes.
We're talking about prayer. I may have said this before, but I'll say it again because sometimes we have these senior moments when we're 13, these memory blocks. I can I can teach you how to pray, but I can't give you the desire to pray. I can teach you how. So let's move into this very important topic. Is that woman in the front that prays, is she distracted or recollected? What? She's really paying attention, right? It's a good picture. She's really paying attention. When we pray, we should try to do the best we can to pay attention, right? And can help you out is ask your guardian angel. So if you're not paying attention, maybe you can ask your guardian angel to do this. Maybe hit you on the head and kind of a little tap on the head. It'd be a good idea, right? Hit you on the head if you're not paying attention. Okay, definition. What is prayer? There's a priest that was here many years ago, and he died pretty young. His name was Father Greg Staub. He was here. Died about 2 years ago. He was here for about 7 years. 7 years. And he wrote a catechism book. And I thought it was a really good catechism book. And this is the definition he gives. What is prayer? Prayer is talking to God. Prayer is listening to God. And prayer is loving God. Amen? Prayer is talking to God. Prayer is listening to God. And prayer is loving God. So you have to learn how to listen. You have to learn how to speak to God. But you have to learn how to love God. Amen? Yeah. Is prayer important?
Yes.
St. Alphonsus says about the importance of prayer. This you can find in the Catechism of the Catholic Church. He says, he who prays much will certainly be saved. Write it in there. He who prays much will certainly be saved. He who does not pray will certainly be damned. You know what damned means? It means you're going to go to hell. Do you know the name of the gang members of the gardens? You got the loquitos y los malditos, yeah. Los cholos de los de the gardens, huh? Don't go to be with them, okay? He who prays much will certainly be saved. He who does not pray will be certainly be damned. So if you're given God gave you the permission to go up to heaven tonight, then you make a short visit to hell, and you're doing like an interview for Channel 7 News at 10 o'clock, and you're asking those people in hell, sir, why are you in hell? I didn't pray. Señorita, why are you in heaven? Because I prayed. It would be as simple as that. It would be as simple as that. Yep, you're in hell, you didn't pray. You're in heaven because you prayed. So given that it's so clear, isn't it? So we should really try to appreciate prayer and pray as much as we can. And you might even do this. You teenage, pray that you really desire to pray. They said, I can teach you how to pray. I mean, no brainer, I can teach you. But I can't give you the desire to pray. You've got to beg it. Beg the Holy Spirit. Beg the Holy Spirit. Yeah, he'll give you that desire to pray. Beg the Holy Spirit. Like a beggar on the street, begging for something to eat. You've got to become a beggar before God. Amen? Where can we pray? Anywhere? right? You can pray anywhere. And you know one of the reasons why is St. Paul quoting the Greek poet? He says, in him we live and move and have our being. In him we live and move and have our being. So wherever we go, God is present there. So when can we pray? We can pray anywhere. When can we pray? Okay, put any time, but there's special times we should pray. You should pray in the morning, at night, before meals, and also when you're tempted to commit a sin by the devil. Yeah. Have you ever meditated upon the first sorrowful mystery, which is the agony in the garden? Why did the apostles abandon Jesus? Because they fell asleep when they should have been praying. Yeah. Read the Bible. Yeah. Jesus was praying with a lot of fervor, and there were his three best friends taking a siesta. That's my Spanish. Huh? Should have been up and praying with fervor, but they actually fell asleep. If it happens to you, you start to say your night prayers, before you know it, our Father who art in heaven. You try not to fall asleep when you're praying. How would you like it if you're talking to me with a lot of enthusiasm, and when you're talking, I start to fall asleep? Kind of like this. It looks like I'm agreeing with everything you're saying, right? Called the yo-yo approach, huh? No, that's you are a rude dude, maleducado, right? Well, we should try to pay attention when we talk to God too, right? God has feelings. He's got a heart, he's got feelings. Maybe this is a little bit off on the tangent. What do they celebrate today in this country? What is it? I'm going to give you a Catholic interpretation to this somewhat pagan feast day. If you give me permission. This is the day in which we should thank the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the Immaculate Heart of Mary for the fact that they love you so much. That's my interpretation of Valentine's Day. You like that? Good idea, Eric? Yeah. But also, we should love them in return. And some of the tragic poetry, you know what the topic is love that's not corresponded to, you know? Romeo and Juliet, right? You know, the love, you love and the person doesn't love you back, the broken heart complex, right? Happens. God loves you, but he wants you to love him back. You agree with that? I'm glad you do, because it's true. He wants you to be loved back. So let's move on. What is the greatest prayer that we can offer God? You know. Yes, you do. Where are you Sunday morning? Okay, so the greatest prayer is Mass, right? The greatest prayer we can offer God is Mass. Right, Daniel? What is a prayer that Jesus taught us? He's going to say the Hail Mary, right? They are Father. Jesus taught us the Our Father. Okay, prayer expresses the sentiments or feelings of the human heart. What acronym or word game can help us to remember the basic sentiments used in prayer? You get ACTS, acts. So look at it this way. Teresa of Avila, she's your friend, hopefully you're her friend too, she says that prayer is basically carrying on a conversation between two friends. It's the way Teresa of Avila defines prayer. Two friends are sitting down and having a really good conversation together. That's prayer. But you're conversing with Jesus, best friend. El amigo que nunca falla. Friend that will never fail us. Okay, what would happen if, okay, you have a friend, and the only thing you ever say to your friend is, can you give me this? Can you give me that? Can you give me money? Can you give me this? You know, it's kind of egotistic, isn't it? My little brother's father-in-law sent me an acronym the other day on the computer. And he gave me an acronym for what ego is. You know what ego is? It's basically a word that was coined by Sigmund Freud, the father of modern psychology. Okay? Not that it suggests that you read his writings, but he's very famous in the field of psychology. EGO. What do you think, Eric? E stands for edge. G stands for God. O stands for out. Edge, God, out. I like that. Like that? It's a good one, isn't it? No? It's a good one, no? Right, Belinda? E-G-O. Edge. You know what edge means? Kind of push. Edge, God, out. You're kind of pushing God out of your life. That's what ego does, no? We want to welcome God in, right? We want to welcome Him in. That's what prayer is. So if you're talking to someone, there are different sentiments that flow from your heart. One day, when all of you are maybe 23, 24, you've got your college degree, maybe your master's, then you can have a boyfriend. Amen? Okay. There's a time for everything, right? What are some of the sentiments that could exist in a courtship? Well, admiration, right? Thanksgiving. Love, concern, compassion, supplication. There's a sentiment that exists between a couple that are maybe falling in love and eventually getting married one day. Try to apply that in your relationship with Jesus Christ. He's the one that loves you most. Hope you'll love Him back, huh? Okay, so A stands for, Daniel? Adoration. We're called to adore God. Adoration. Another word for adoration would be to praise, to glorify, to worship, if you want a synonym for the word. Not cinnamon, but synonym, okay? When do you know what a Roget's thesaurus is? Do you guys study literature? Roget's thesaurus, it's kind of like a dictionary, but you have a word, and you have the different meanings of one word. You have maybe different shades of meaning from one word. No? How about C? Happens if you have a friend and you hurt your friend. Say, you say, I'll meet you in McDonald's at 4 o'clock, and you show up at 6 o'clock. Okay? Your friend's been waiting for 2 hours. You used to say, well, sorry, I'm a little bit late, but I'm a person, I'm not really that punctual to my meetings. Well, that was an offense because you made the poor person wait for 2 hours. Just say, Sorry, I'll be punctual next time. So when we commit a sin, we should tell God we're sorry, shouldn't we? Mm-hmm. Good. Okay, how about T? T stands for, are you listening? Thanksgiving. Do you know the Shakespearean proverb that best exemplifies that from Macbeth? More painful than a serpent's tooth, that of an ungrateful child. Good one, huh? More painful than a serpent's tooth, that of an ungrateful child. We're going to have to learn how to thank God, right? What do you have that God hasn't given you? I'll tell you. Your sins. It's the only thing. You chose them. Threw a curveball at you, huh? Weren't expecting that baby, were you? Everything we have, everything that's good, God has given to us, but we have chosen our sins. Abusing our freedom. So we sin, we have to say, God, I'm sorry. Help me not to do it again. So T stands for Thanksgiving. And S, yes? Contrition. Adoration, contrition, T, Thanksgiving. And S? Go ahead, tell me. You know. What? Supplication. Darren, you know what that means, supplication? Do you?
Yeah.
What does it mean?
To supply.
No, kind of. But really, supplication means to ask for something. Ask. And here's the biblical verse, Matthew 7:7. Ask and you receive, seek and you find, knock and the door will be open. Matthew 7:7, okay? What should you ask for? Money, fame, pleasure, and power, right?
No.
That's what most people would probably ask God for, right? Money, fame, pleasure, and power over people. No, you should be asking for holiness and so you can get to heaven. Amen? That's much more important in the eyes of God, right? Yeah. Money, you can't bring it beyond the grave, can you? Have you ever seen a funeral, have you ever seen a U-Haul hearse, a U-Haul van following a funeral hearse? Have you ever seen that? Have you seen that? No. A funeral hearse with carrying the dead body, you see a U-Haul van right behind it? That never happens, does it? You can't take it beyond the grave, can you? Okay, let's move on to the next. What is the prayer that makes the Immaculate Heart of Mary rejoice? Okay, but write down the Hail Mary. And write, you might put a slash after that, the Holy Rosary. The Hail Mary and the Holy Rosary. Explain the origin of the Hail Mary. Where does Hail Mary, full of grace, come from? It comes from Luke chapter 1, verse 28. Write that in there. Luke chapter 1, verse 28. And right next to that, Hail Mary, full of grace. Who said those words? Hail Mary, full of grace. You forgot, you know? Yes. Nope. Okay, the Archangel Gabriel. Okay. So those were said by the Archangel Gabriel. She said, Hail Mary, full of grace. The Lord is with you. Okay, blessed are you among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb. That's Luke 1:42. Who said those words? Saint Elizabeth, right? I'll give her credit, huh? They call her Saint Elizabeth, right? Saint Elizabeth. Then Holy Mary, Mother of God, write that in, words that come from the church. You can't find those in the Bible, but the church added those words later on. Okay, glory be to the Father. Who do we honor when we pray the glory be to the Father?
God.
Who?
God the Father.
The Holy Trinity.
Yeah, the Holy Trinity. The Holy Trinity. So we believe in three gods and one person, right? No? Don't we believe in three gods and one person?
Three persons and one person.
You got it. You're awake. I thought you were falling asleep. I want to make sure that you're still awake, okay? Good. Explain the meaning of the sign of the cross. Okay, the sign of the cross explains two truths. One is the Blessed Trinity we have within us. Got that? The Blessed Trinity we have within us. And then the crucifixion and death of Jesus, that he suffered for our salvation. Crucifixion and death of Jesus, that he suffered for our salvation. You know that, Eric?
Mm-hmm.
So you probably made the sign of the cross thousands of times, but you probably never thought about what I just taught you now. So you make the sign of the cross, you think about the Trinity within you and how much Jesus suffered for the salvation of your soul. Shed every drop of blood for you. Think about that. He shed every drop of blood for your salvation. That's how important you are. You're saved not by silver or gold, but the blood of animal, but the blood of the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. It's huge. Okay, let's move on. We're going to talk about obstacles in prayer. Obstacles in prayer. Do any of you athletes know what an obstacle course is? What's an obstacle course? Do you know, Daniel?
A course full of things that you have to get around.
Yeah. Do you know what the word labyrinth means?
Yes.
It's a good word. What does it mean?
It's having a maze, in a way, with a bunch of different tasks or something.
I know. When I was your age, I don't know if they still make it, they actually had a game where you'd have a little marble and you'd have to... Have you seen it?
I have not.
It's cool, isn't it? You have to kind of go around the holes there, and about 25 holes, and... What's that? It's kind of fun, no? And then once it falls in, you got to go back to start. And when you're starting off, you maybe make it to the second hole. Then you become an expert. You're able to go maneuver around all the different holes. And it's kind of like our spiritual life. There are a lot of labyrinths for us to make it to heaven, right? So that's the purpose of the next question. You have to kind of jump over these difficult obstacles. You know, when I was your age, I was really good on the pogo stick. You ever do that?
No.
Yeah. You know what it is? I used to be able to go up and down the stairs without any hands. Really?
That's
yeah. Well, it took a long time, but at first you just start off like this. Then without the hands, then there's you able to go up and down the stairs without any hands. Now, I probably could have been in the circus, right? Takes a little bit of coordination, you end up with a lot of bruises at first, but then you're able to conquer yourself and do it, huh? Just make sure you don't do it jumping off a building. No, that's not good, is it? No. Okay, so we're going to talk about the different obstacles to prayer. You know, you start to pray, almost as if all hell breaks loose. No? Ever happened your mom and dad said, "Hey, time to prayer?" "Oh, I don't want to know. I'm too busy. I've got homework. I've got to study for this. Got an important phone call. I'm going to be talking to President Trump this evening." I mean, you got all these important things that you have to do. And it's almost it seems that God is crowded out as soon as your mom says time to pray the rosary, you know? Yeah. And partially that comes from the devil. The devil wants to convince you you're too busy to pray and you can, they say in Spanish, la filosofía de la mañana. Lo haga mañana, mañana, mañana. I'll do it later. So I'm going to give you six different obstacles. First is this. This comes from the Catechism of the Catholic Church. Laziness. Sometimes we're just lazy. Flocos. We're lazy. Next is, okay, this is a word for people who are more advanced in the spiritual life. Well, maybe some of you are really advanced, even though you're young. It's called dryness. Dryness. You're praying. You know what dryness is? You're praying. It doesn't seem as if too much is happening. Got that, Daniel? Probably happening. You're praying. Kind of dry. But you know, if you're traveling through a desert, you got to go through the dry part of the desert to arrive at the oasis, right? Anyone who takes his prayer life spiritually goes through dryness. Right, Belinda? But then there's the oasis that waits for us later on. The third is this. Discouragement. We become discouraged. You know, I made my infallible novena to St. Jude. What didn't he cough up? I actually made two in a row. Come on, Jude. We become discouraged. God, why don't you? You know, not one novena, but two novenas. 18 days. What more do you want? No? Come on. I want the straight A's. And then you hear the Holy Spirit say, "I'll give you straight A's when you start to study." Oh, okay. Well, it's your fault. You got to hit the books, huh? No, I'm going to pray the novena of the Holy Spirit. He'll enlighten me to pass this advanced calculus class. No, that's not the way it works. That's good. Well, I'm putting God to the test. You got to do your part too, right? God isn't a dummy, is he? No. You can't treat God as if he were a dummy. God's very more intelligent than we are. And the fourth is this, doubt. You doubt that God hears you. Yeah. We all have doubts. God, are you really there? God, are you really there? That's why to pray well, you have to have faith. Faith is believing without seeing. Yeah, a good definition. Believing God without seeing. Remember Jesus said to St. Thomas after the resurrection? Thomas said, "I'm not going to believe unless I put my hands in his wounds." Remember what happened? Then Jesus appeared and he said, Thomas said, "Lord, my Lord and my God, blessed are those who believe without seeing." So prayer is you're not seeing God, but you believe that he exists. Do you know the world in which we live? There is the material world, but there's also the spiritual world. You can't see your brain waves, but your brain is functioning. How about the air molecules? The air molecules, I mean, you can't see them, but there's air that's entering, inhaling, and exhaling in and out of your lungs. But you can't see the air, but the air exists. So you can't, God is invisible. But He's more real than you are yourself. So the invisible world exists just as much as the material world. You have a guardian angel right next to you. Not your friend, but you have a guardian angel right next to you. We have a devil that goes after us too. Don't forget about that. I mean. Right? Chamukul. Yeah. Okay, another obstacle is impatience. Impatience, we want things to happen quickly. I call it the microwave spirituality. Like that one? You know, you put it in the microwave, you put 90 seconds, The microwave spirituality. Lord, I want it quickly, no? Do you know how long St. Monica prayed for the conversion of St. Augustine? Hope you have heard of St. Augustine and St. Monica, right? She waited about 31 years. Long time, huh? You don't believe me? Read Confessions. It took a long time and a lot of tears and a lot of patience. Finally, Augustine was converted, became one of the greatest saints in the Catholic Church. St. Augustine. O Lord, you have made our hearts for Thee. Our hearts are restless until they rest in Thee. St. Augustine, the great, huh? O Lord, you made our hearts for Thee. Our hearts are restless until they rest in Thee. Yeah. What else? Number six is temptations. The devil works to try to get you to pray later. Do it later, no hurry. Just do it a little bit later. Get time. Don't hurry, calm down. No? Watch that TV program. Eat that fourth hamburger, and after that, you can pray. No? I don't know. Pray first, then eat the first hamburger, and stick with one. It's better for your health. Yeah? Right, Hyrule? Okay, let's move on. Helps. Aids to prayer. What can help us to pray? I'm going to name a few. Did you ever meet a Jehovah Witness?
Yes.
You know, a Jehovah Witness or a Mormon, a born-again Christian, if they see an image like a statue or a crucifix, what do? They say, that's you're practicing idolatry. That's what they usually say, right? But we're not Jehovah Witnesses, are we? I hope not. So we can use this physical reality to help us to unite ourselves with the spiritual reality that we call God. And the first is the crucifix. All of you have a big crucifix in your room? You should all have a crucifix on the wall, at least a small one. You have one? Yeah, you should have a crucifix. And there's a difference between a Catholic one and a Protestant one. Do you know the difference? Protestant one has the cross, but without the body of Christ on it. They were driving down the street, and you see a Protestant church, they get the big cross on the top, Presbyterian, Baptist, Anglican, Episcopalian. We have the corpus on it, the body of Christ. A cross without Jesus' body, it doesn't do anything to me. I don't know about you. But if I see the body of Jesus on the cross and I see how much he suffered, that moves me to love him all the more. Yeah. Yes?
My cross had Jesus on it, but he fell off.
Okay, he fell off. It's probably symbolic that you don't want to carry your cross. You have to pray for the grace to carry your cross. That's my symbolic interpretation. She maybe doesn't want to carry her cross, no? Maybe go back and watch Marcellina Panavino, right?
That movie's sad.
Sad movie? A great movie.
It's sad.
Any of you seen it, Marcellina Panavino?
Oh, yeah.
Do you like it?
Yeah.
Yeah, see, Jesus is on the cross when he's talking to the little kid, huh? Okay, what else? Well, okay, so number of crucifix, one crucifix. Number two would be religious images. Religious images. Do you have religious and religious images in your room? What do you have, Daniel? St. Patrick, yeah? You have something?
Yeah.
What do you have?
Lady Guadalupe.
Lady Guadalupe. You have something?
The Sacred Heart of Jesus.
Sacred Heart? You, yeah. Don't have anything, no?
I have a picture of Jesus.
Jesus? Mm-hmm. What?
Jesus.
Okay, Jesus, no? Divine Mercy, you too?
St. John Vianney.
Oh, John Vianney, the Curie of Ours, yeah.
Sacred Heart of Jesus. The Sacred Heart of Jesus and a guardian angel.
A couple, yeah.
St. Joseph and St. Mary.
St. Joseph, a great saint, yeah.
Jesus.
Divine Mercy.
Our Lady of Fatima.
Lady of Fatima.
Our Lady of
Guadalupe.
Guadalupe.
Guadalupe too?
Yeah, the Icon of Mary.
What? Icon of Mary. Good. What about you?
Mary.
Jesus and Mary?
No, Mary.
Mary. A statue of Mary. Yeah. Mary, how about you?
Rosa Mystica.
Oh, the Rosa Mystica. Lauren, do you have some?
Trinity.
Well, we're all doing very well. It's interesting. Almost all of you have something different, which is really good. Does it help you to pray when you have those images? Make you think about God? Yeah, it helps. It helps a lot. So, wherever you go, make sure that you have those beautiful images. The other day, this man, it was on Tuesday or Wednesday, this man brought me a picture of Our Lady Guadalupe, which was about two times as big as the picture of Jesus there. So I have it in my room there. When I go in there, it's really big and I really like it. I didn't have one of a Lady Guadalupe, now I've got it, no? Yeah. It's really big, no? So when I go home at night, I feel, wow, I'm not alone, I'm in good company. Good company. Okay, then also religious, okay, prayer cards. Do you have any prayer cards?
Yes.
Yeah. Prayer card, you have quite a few?
Yeah.
Yeah, prayer cards, those are good. Then number five would be spiritual reading material. Spiritual reading material. Let's move on to what about family prayers? Family prayers.
What's number four?
Prayer cards. So it's crucifix, religious statues, religious images, prayer cards, and spiritual reading material. What about family prayers? What are family prayers? Okay, the rosary. How about another one? Maybe you pray at 3 o'clock.
The divine
mercy chaplet. And then you might even put the blessing of the meal. Before you have your meal, you say a short prayer. You still do it? No, I was brought up and we would never sit down to eat without blessing the meal. So if you don't, start tonight. Bless the meal. Okay, we have arrived at meditation. Let me give you four simple steps to meditate well. Number one is I have another acronym, the four C's. Forgot about this. So put down, they're going to be four C's. Number one is concentrate. Focus on God. Okay, that's number one. Number two is consider. Consider. Right next to number two, sacred scripture. Number three, converse. And put next to that, talk to God. Number four, commit. Commit. Set a time for God. I like that. You get a four-letter acronym. So I'll go through it again. Concentrate on God. Consider sacred scripture. Converse. Talk to God. Commit. Set a time for God every day. Four C's of meditation. Okay, now Bible verses. I've just started the first and see if we can maybe finish it. Ask, Matthew 7:7. Ask and you shall receive. It's Matthew 7:7. Okay, where two or more are gathered in my name. So you can finish that. Where two or more are gathered in my name, I am in their midst. Third, this is one of my favorites. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Was this helpful?
Yes.
Was it? So now I've given you tools to pray. You can do it. Just put it into practice. Okay? So let's say our act of consecration to Mary. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. Together. Mary, my Queen and my Mother, give myself entirely to you, show my devotion to you, consecrate to you this day my eyes, my ears, my mouth, my heart, whole being without reserve. Wherefore, good mothers, I am your own. Keep me and guard me as your property and possession. The Lord be with you.
And
may God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay. God bless you. See you on Sunday.
Thank you, Father.
You're welcome.